let us get started. This year went in a lot of different directions for me, since we ended up with this happy accident of a break in the schedule such that we could have a standalone shiur for Shavuos, and a way to potentially blend in Shemitah with that. So what we're going to do is talk about the Omer from the second day of Pesach and the Shtei Halachem, how they're brought in a Shemitah year, and it's going to bring us some Shemitah ideas as well as some Shavuos ideas along the way. So as we begin, just a basic note, less for the people here and more for someone who might be listening on the recording. I think everyone here is aware. The Omer is a mincha we bring from barley. We bring it on the 16th day of Nisan, brought along with a lamb, and permits us to use the new grain, which had been called classified chadash. We're now allowed to use it for personal consumption. That's the Omer. Then, at the end of counting the Omer, on Shavuos, Chag HaBikurim, we also bring the Shtei HaLechem, two loaves of bread prepared from new wheat. We'll talk about whether it has to be new or not. That's going to be the focus of the shiur. But two loaves of wheat bread, along with two lambs. And at that point, as the Gemara tells us in Menachos, we're allowed to use the year's new grain for karbanos, for Menachos. You could use it for personal use already from Pesach, but only from Shavuos you'll be able to use it for Menachos. So what I want to do is start out with a thought from Rav Kook regarding the Omer and the Shtei HaLechem. And this is the nice Dvar Torah part. And then after that, move into the technical question of using new grain for the Shtei HaLechem. Is that actually a firm requirement? And possibly at the end, come back to sort of wrap it all up together in a way that I think might actually connect them. So starting off with the thought from Rav Kook. There's a piece in Ein Ayah in Brachos Vav Amud Beis, and when I sent out the source sheet, I didn't really think I was going to include it. So I didn't. The source sheet you have does not have it, but I'm going to read it out to you with my translation. This is a piece where he's talking about the Karban Todah. Remember that the Shtei Alechem that we bring on Shavuos are in fact classified as a Karban Todah, even though it's not 40 loaves of bread. But in Ein Ayah, Rav Kook talks about the fact that the Karban Todah is supposed to have normally 40 loaves of bread, and that 10 of them are supposed to be chametz, right? Not all of it, but some of it is chametz. So he writes, "Hatoda ba'ala hodos ala tov haba al yedei gilgulei sibos ro'os." He says the Todah comes to thank Hashem for the good, which comes out of the bad. There had been bad, there was a danger, and then we were saved from it. Hasimcha shachrei apachad vasakana she'etzem hasimcha hidavar tov v'lo yitzu yorhei yosa kiyim bagdam asara. He says the simcha is, you know, now things are good, but it can only happen because there was bad before it. And he goes on in that vein, and it's very Rav Kook, about the bad leading to the good. If you've learned Aros HaTshuva, you see that all over the place. So what he says is, that's why you need to have chametz in the Karban Todah, because the chametz represents evil, and that's where things were in the beginning. However, it led to the good. That's his comment in Ein Ayah in Brachos, which can apply to your Shtei HaLechem as well. The Shtei HaLechem being chametz, it's unusual that we have a mincha that is chametz. And so Rav Kook says, on Pesach, with the Karban Omer, we bring barley, and it's not chametz. On Shavuos, we bring wheat, and it is chametz. And take a look now what you have in source number 2. I may consistently give the numbers wrong now, because on the sheet in front of me, I have my Ein Ayah piece. So I'm going to be one off. But on yours, it's number 2. On mine, it's number 3. A piece that he has in Orot Yisrael, where he talks about the Shtei HaLechem for Shavuos versus the Omer for Pesach. He says, Chulshas ha'adam goremes shebehiyoso mukshar lemechkar sichli, yuchlash bo yisod hanetiyah ha'emunit. He says, human beings, human nature, chulshat ha'adam, human frailty, is such that people who are more intellectually developed tend to have less emuna. And people who have powerful emuna tend not to investigate and develop their intellect. And he says you need to have both. As you see in the piece there, I retained my English translation on the sheet because it's from a source sheet that I gave out at a shir, so why not? Rav Cook can always use translation. But what he says is you need to have both, and I love the way that he frames it when he says, Koach ha'emunat sarich sheyeh shalem kol kach ki'ilu ein lo shum efshariyut shel mechkar. He says, your emunah has to be so strong that it's as if there's no need and no possibility for any kind of intellectual analysis. Total faith. Ulumad zet sarich sheyeh koach ha'chochma kol kach me'ula umzuraz kimolo haya klal koach shel emunah benefesh. He says, on the other hand, your intellect and your insight has developed and so sharp that it's as though there was no need for, there's no force of emunah at all. He wants you to develop both. So he says, Pesach is the time of emunah. And on Pesach you have barley. Cholent eaters are not going to like this. But he says on Pesach you have barley. Barley is animal food. It is unthinking. It's in the raw state. Whereas when you get to Shavuos, you use wheat. That's human food. It represents your growth. So the loaves that you have on Shavuos, the Shtei Alechem, when we mark hearing Hashem speak at Har Sinai, are about our intellectual heights. But even when we arrive at those heights, we retain the chametz, which reminds us of where we were in the beginning. You follow? That's his idea. You reach this point where you now have the, intellect of Shavuos, but you remember where you were. You remember where you came from. So I have a hard time accepting this as pshat in Shavuos. Because if that were true, then we should have chametz and matzah in the Shtei Alechem. Like, you should want to have the original chametz, you should have the matzah now. But you don't argue with Rav Cook on things like this. And it's also a pshat in life. Because when you, if not pshat in Shavuos, it's pshat in life. Because I might ask, what is the value of this kind of maschil bignus, right, of incorporating the chametz? Why not make it just matzah? What's the point of maschil bignus that I have to remember my chametz roots? So you could say it's to understand the journey, right? Understand where we've been and where we are now. You could suggest maybe it's anava, it's humility, right? Remember your low points and you'll stay humble. You could suggest, and this is Rav Cook's idea, that it's hakaras hatov. Right? You value the chesed from Hashem, even in the suffering that you had early on. But I think there's another element here, which is to recognize the potential in our future from our current barley, from our current chametz. Meaning, on Pesach, right? Welcome, Zev. On Pesach, we say, our barley state was what led to our freedom and growth. And on Shavuos, we say, our chametz state was what led to our freedom and growth. And we have to recognize that both of them are still present. It's not as though we're gone. It's not as though come Shavuos time, I counted my way through the Omer, now I'm perfect. Now I'm wonderful. There's no more chametz in me. There's no more, all of that is now behind me. It's just not true. And it's really important for me to then think back to the chametz I had on Pesach and to say, just as I grew, even with the chametz that I had then, so too I will continue to grow from the chametz that is in me now. And I bring this in particular in connection with source number 3 on your sheet. I love this Gemara Nedarim. Gemara Nedarim asks the classic question, why is it that in Mitzuyin Tamidei Chachamim Latzeis Tamidei Chachamim Mi B'neihen? Why is it that even though we have many cases of rabbinic dynasties of one kind or another, nonetheless, those are really the exception? You don't normally find that Tamidei Chachamim breed Tamidei Chachamim. And the Gemara gives a whole bunch of explanations, a whole bunch of reasons. Ravashi Omer, Mishum Dekaru Le'inshi Chamri. Ravashi says, because they call people donkeys, right? Some people will say donkeys, some people will say donkeys. But that's the issue. They call people donkeys. So the standard explanation of that is it's a turnoff for the kid. Bad midos in the father are going to cause the child to say, that's a terrible person. I don't want to be like that. If that's what Torah does to you, I don't want to be like that. However, it's also possible that you could read it differently. The child will grow up missing opportunities for growth because the child absorbs the message that the opportunities for growth are not opportunities at all. He sees the way his father looks at people, and his father says, that's chametz, that's barley, that's never going anywhere. And he thinks to himself, well, I must be a donkey also. Right? I also am like that, because I'm not my father. So I must also be worthless. If that one's worthless, I'm worthless also. So you have to recognize that everybody starts out as chametz. Right? That everybody starts out in that way. And that the donkiness, so to speak, is an opportunity. So when you bring the Shtei Halachim on Shavuos, you're reminding yourself by bringing it of chametz that the chametz is an opportunity for growth. You follow? Okay. So that's the nice Dvar Torah that starts us off. Now we get to the drier material that we ultimately may come back to that idea, building off of Rav Kook, but we'll see how things go. Take a look, please, at source Aleph on your sheet. This is a Mishnah in Shkalim talking about how they got the Karban Omer during Shemitah. I mean, that's not the core focus of the Mishnah, but it teaches us that. Hatruma Mahayu Osinba. What did they do with Trumas Halishka? Right? When you brought your half shekel, it went into the places where it went into, and then several times during the year, they would do Trumas Halishka. They would take the Shkalim out. So what did they do with it? Lochim batmidin musafim v'niskeim. You'd buy the carbon tamid. You'd buy the animals for the carbon musaf. You'd buy the nesachim to pour on the mizbeach. Ha'omer ushtei halechem v'lechem hapanim, as well as the omer, the shtei halechem. We've talked about both of them. Lechem hapanim each week. V'chol carbonos hatzibur. Shomrei sfichin b'shviyis notlin scharan mitrumas halishka. And those who guarded the sfichin during Shemitah would get paid out of those shkalim. And there's a whole Torah behind how you pay them with the shkalim and redeeming the shkalim. That's not our focus. So the Yerushalmi there discusses the question of who authored this Mishnah, and it's going to matter for us later, and it brings us to some Shemitah issues. Take a look at source Beis, please. Yerushalmi quotes, Ha'omer v'ushtei alechem v'lechem apanem v'chol karbonos hatzibur. Taman tanenon. We learned over there. Kol karbonos hayachid v'atzibur boim min ha'aretz min chutz la'aretz. Over there is menachos. We're going to come back to this Mishnah and see it in the menachos context. But all private and communal karbonos boim min ha'aretz u'min chutz la'aretz. They come from Israel. They come from outside of Israel. Min ha'chadash u'min ha'yashan. Whether they are new, whether they are from the old, and we're going to talk about that as well. Chutz min ha'omer u'shtei lechem she'ein boim ela min ha'chadash u'min ha'aretz. Except for the Omer and the Shtei Halechem, they have to be from the new grain, and they have to be from Israel. So, that's the quote. So Rav Chuna b'shem Rabbi Yirmiya says, D'Rabbi Yishmael he says, that Mishnah is Shitas Rabbi Yishmael. What do you mean? Rabbi Yishmael is the one who says it has to come from Eretz Yisrael. D'Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Ein HaOmer Bam in HaSuria. Rabbi Yishmael says the Omer has to be from Israeli grain. And they quote the Mishnah about the special Kedushos of Eretz Yisrael, and one of the elements of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is, Shev Mevi'in Mimena HaOmer Babikur Mishtei Alechem. The Omer, the Bikur Mishtei Alechem have to come from Israeli grain. And Rabbi Chia comments on there that is Rabbi Yishmael, because he says the Omer has to come from Eretz Yisrael. It may not come from Surya. They then bring us a familiar quote. Taman Tanenon, another Mishnah. We know this one from our Shemitah discussions. Rabbi Yishmael Omer Mecharish Rishus. Af Katzir Rishus. Yatza Katzir HaOmer Shi Mitzvah. It's been a few months since we've seen this quote, I think. The Torah says, Becharish Uva Katzir Tishbos. you shall halt your charish, you shall halt your katsir. And we ask, why did you need to tell me that? I already knew that. And especially because in the pasuk, it sounds like it's talking about Shabbos and not talking about Shemitah. So Rabbi Yishmael says what we learn from that pasuk is that it's only rishus, plowing and harvesting, that's prohibited. There's no such thing as mitzvah plowing. So just like the plowing that's prohibited is what you do for yourself, so too the harvesting that's prohibited is what you do for yourself. Yatza kitzir ha-omer shu mitzvah, as opposed to the omer, harvesting the omer is mitzvah. So Rabbi Yishmael kidaite, Rabbi Yishmael, who says that you harvest the omer in Israel during Shemitah, is following his view, because he says, ein omer b'min asuriya. He says you're not allowed to bring the omer from Surya. So Rabbi Yishmael, where are you getting your omer from during Shemitah? If you're not getting it from Syria, the answer is you're getting it from Eretz Yisrael. Are we clear on what this Yerushalmi is conveying? The Yerushalmi is telling me that Rabbi Yishmael holds, number one, that the omer has to come from Israel. And don't ask me, well, how are you harvesting during Shemitah? That doesn't bother us because it's a mitzvah and therefore it's not subject to the prohibitions of Shemitah. So therefore I can harvest and go straight and have no problem whatsoever. So then they ask, but wait a minute. The Mishnah that said, Mantana Shomrei Svichin Bishvias Notlin Schar Mitruvas Halishka, who is it who says you're guarding the Svichin during Shemitah in order to be able to bring it? Rabbi Yishmael, hey, that's Rabbi Yishmael's view. Rabbi Yossi says Divrei Akolhi. Rabbi Yossi says it's not everybody, it's not Rabbi Yishmael, it's everybody. Everybody agrees with that. What do you mean? Because Lo Matzu B'Syria, if they can't find grain in Syria, Mivianosan Misvichin Shever Eretz Yisrael, they bring instead from the Svichin in Eretz Yisrael. So he says everybody will agree. So let me ask you a question. Okay, your turn now. What could be wrong with using Shemitah produce? What would be the problem? What would bother us about using Shemitah produce for the Omer? So generally speaking, we deal with that and say, no, there's no issue of Kedusha for that. It does come up in some discussions, but we tend to be good with that. So one would be the issue of Svichin. One would be the problem of Svichin. And the problem of Svichin may well be a deoraisa, right? That's something that Rav Chaim is going to get to when he gives shiur on Svichin. It looks like that'll be in 2 weeks. But take a look, please, at Source Gimel, you get a preview. The Gemara in Psachim, we get a braisa. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol ha-Svichin asurin chutz mi-Svichei kruv, she'in kayotze behen b'yerek ha-sadeh. Rabbi Shimon says, all Svichin, Svichin means wild growth, that which grows on its own. So all the wild growth is prohibited except for cabbage. The cabbage is different. I'm not getting into the cabbage discussion. Wait for 2 weeks and you'll get into the cabbage discussion. Chacham omrim kol ha-svichin asur. And the Chacham say, no, all svichin are prohibited. Utravayu alibet Rabbi Akiva. Both of them are presenting their view based on and within what Rabbi Akiva said, which is what matters for us. What did Rabbi Akiva say? It was last week's parasha of Bahar. The Torah says that the farmer is going to say, what are we supposed to eat? We're not going to plant, and we're not going to harvest. So Rabbi Akiva says, I don't understand the second question. If you're not planting, then nothing's growing. And what do you mean we're not going to harvest? Of course you're not going to harvest. There's nothing there. So mikam lesvichin shein asurin. So this teaches me, no, I'm not allowed to harvest meaning even the wild stuff. The stuff that you planted doesn't exist because you didn't plant anything. So Rabbi Akiva says that when we say we're not going to harvest, it means we're not harvesting the wild growth. The svichin, the wild growth, is prohibited. In other words, Rabbi Akiva believes svichin are asurin mideoraisa. Svichin are biblically prohibited. As I noted for you in Source Dalid, Rashi says that Rabbi Akiva is not talking about all wild growth. He's only talking about after Bior, right? Ayin Shamar of Sami Shirim on Bior. Rashi believes that Rabbi Akiva is only prohibiting Svichin, wild growth, after Bior. Tosfos argues compellingly that that's not true. that it's talking about all year long, which makes perfect sense if we're talking about the Omer time, because the Omer time is long before the Shas Bir. Doesn't make any sense. But in any case, what could be wrong with using Shemitah produce for the Omer? Number one is the act of Ktzira, the act of harvesting. But Rabbi Shmuel took care of that by saying, that's okay, Ktzir mitzvah is not prohibited. Iser Svichin would be a second problem. There's also another problem, I'm kind of surprised no one has said it. Yeah, we're hiring people to guard Shemitah produce? Don't you know you're not supposed to guard Shemitah produce? So we're going to come back to that momentarily. But the point is... Sorry? You're not allowed to eat them.
I don't have to eat it. Do you have to eat it?
So first of all, you do. You do have to eat it. But second, because as we're going to see, there's a halacha that requires mimashke Yisrael. The Omer has to be something that's mutter for you to eat. So yes. Here is the fundamental question, which we're going to get to after we talk about Shemira, which is, why all the fuss? Maybe I can just use last year's produce, dried and stored away. Right? Why do I need to use this year's stuff? So the rules for using last year's produce for the Omer and Shtei HaLechem may actually fit what we said from Rav Kook. Maybe. We'll see. So first of all, let's address the problem of Shmira, the problem of guarding it. It's a little bit of a tangent in the shiur, but it's a question you do have to ask. The Gemara in Psachim, based on the Psukim in Yechezkel, if you take a look on your sheet, I brought you there. Yechezkel is in source Hey on your sheet. I highlighted the words, Mimashke Yisrael. He's talking about the gift that you're supposed to bring. And he mentions along the way, Mimashke Yisrael. So the Gemara in Psachim says in source Vav, what is Mimashke Yisrael? Minamuter li Yisrael. It has to be from something that you are allowed to have. And specifically, if you take a look at source Zion, the Gemara in Yevamos talks about what happens if a non-Jew makes a halachic statement to you. Are you bound by it? He makes a statement about reality, which impacts halacha. So are you bound by it? Take a look. Ove kochav mshemocher peres b'shuk. A non-Jew is selling produce in the marketplace. Va'amar peres halalu shel ar lahein. And he says to you, ha, this fruit is great. It's from the second year of the tree. So he tells you, this is Arla. Or shel azeka hein, or neta revai hein, lo amar klum, lo niskavin alash biach mekha. We assume that the things he's saying are only meant to make his product sound good, and therefore it may not actually be true. What is this azeka thing that we are talking about? So in source Ches, I showed you in Tosfos the position of Rabbeinu Tam, which is what matters for us, which is that shel azeka means this is produce that was guarded during Shemitah. It's also Rashi's first approach. Rashi then leaves it, but Rabbeinu Tam resurrects it. So, what emerges from this Gemara in Yevamos is that guarded grain, azeka, is prohibited, and therefore, you shouldn't be able to use it for the Omer. So how are you hiring people to guard the Omer? Does everyone understand where we are with this? Don't get distracted by the Rav Kook piece in the beginning. You can put that on the side for now. Come back to it later when you need a Dvar Torah for Shavuos. But what we said here is that the Mishnah in Shkalim says that we're hiring people to guard the Svichin that they can be used for the Karban Omer, right? And that's Rabbi Shmuel's view. He says you have to bring it from Eretz Yisrael. But what about Shmira? Shmira is going to destroy this. So there are multiple kinds of answers. There are three kinds of answers for this. And I'm going through it a little bit quickly just because it's not the ikar of where we're going, but I felt like you have to address it. So the first class of answers is, yes, Shmira is a problem. Nonetheless, I have a mitzvah to bring the Karban Omer, and that's going to override the Isser. Yes, you're right, I'm not supposed to use it, but that's the way it goes. The Gemara in Menachos, which we're going to see, is going to have Rav Chista say, the Torah says, bring the Omer lido roseichem, in all your generations. So, therefore, you have to do it, no matter what. Tosfos doesn't like that answer first. because he says, I don't understand, just bring from Mufgar. Why you have to hire people to do a bad thing? But then he resurrects the idea. And he says, the truth of the matter is, the Gemara in Menachos, Daf Hei Amud Beis, already did this. The Gemara in Menachos already asked a different question. The question the Gemara in Menachos asked was, how is it that you are able to use the new grain for the Omer? At the time you bring the Omer, it's Chadash. It's Aser. You're not satisfying Mashke Yisrael. It's not permitted for eating. You're not allowed to eat it until after. So the Gemara's answer is, okay, but the Torah says, bring it l'doroseichem. What do you want from me? This is clearly what God wants from you. You might as well ask why you bring Karbanos on Shabbos. Don't we have an Isser of Shechita? This is the way the mitzvah is. God instructed us to do it that way. In truth, the Rashba actually asks the same question and gives a different answer. He says, when it's brought on the Mizbeach, it becomes Mutter. The Shevet Alevi discusses this in Tes Resh Chaf Beis Gimel. I brought you the Rashba on the sheet in Source Yud. But that's one answer is, we have a mitzvah to bring the Omer, it overrides the Yisr Shmira. Another answer, which is the first answer, the one that I marked one in Source Tes in Tosfos, is to say that Shmira does not prohibit eating that which you guarded. Shmira prohibits harvesting that which you guarded. And again, Rabbi Yishmael says harvesting is fine if it's for the sake of the Omer. That's the also seen in the Sifra that I brought you in Source Yad Aleph. But the major answer that's given, there are a few different variations of it, but the major answer that's given is that this is not the prohibited form of Shmira at all. The Tosfos says, maybe, this is answer number two in Source Tes, maybe the answer is the guards did not block people. They just informed people that it was meant for the Omer. They didn't actually keep people out. They just had a big sign up saying, hey, don't do this, not don't do this. This is Omer. And everybody knew. This goes back to the question that I think Rav Sammy had in an earlier shiur of what exactly constitutes guarding. If you put up a big sign saying, this is poison, does that count as Shmira? Another answer that Tosfos brings is, and this is Tosfos at his finest, giving you a Gzeres HaKasuv that apparently was just made up. The Torah says you're not allowed to guard Nizirecha and Kitzirecha, that which is for you. This isn't for you. It's for the Beis HaMikdash. So that's that's answer number three. Didach in v'lo shel hektish. The Sfas Emes gives us an answer, saying that only part of the field was guarded. And he bases it in the Rambam. If you take a look at source Yud Beis, he bases it also in the language of the Rambam in Perek Dal Nechos Shmita. He says you're not keeping people out of the entire field. After all, you're allowed to take some stuff from the field for yourself. Clearly, that's okay. And then finally, the last answer in Tosfos, which Sfas Emes also brings, which is you're keeping animals out. You're not keeping people out. And that's considered to be okay. That's a side issue, but it's an important issue. We're talking about guarding Shemitah produce. We should find out what exactly it is that permits that. But let's get to the main show, which is, why not just use last year's produce? Why are you making a big deal of this? Yes, Sir Sammy, you were going to say?
Did you also say, I mean, I know this is a whole discussion, but it's not Derech Bialik. I mean,
right,
sir.
Right. See, if I take Rav Sammy's favorite Shemitah idea of all time, which is that the Isurim during Shemitah are for you to act like you're the owner. I'm not acting like I'm the owner because it's not. It's for the sake of the carbon. Maybe you could say that. I know it's not really your idea. I get it, Rochelle Yisraeli. I understand. But it's your favorite idea, I think, based on just the real estate question of how much real estate it gets in Shiurim. So yes, in a Hanami, it's an interesting idea for sure. That will tie into Otzer Beis Din also, and the question of whether they're looking like their owners, you know, there as well. So, may I use last year's growth? So here we get the sugya that I sent out when I suggested that you see the Gemara in Menachos, Pei Gimel, Pei Dalid. This is really the Iker. The Gemara in Menachos brings two Mishnayos to say that you have to use this year's growth. If you take a look at source Yud Dalet, Mishnah, the beginning of the ninth perek in Menachos. Mishnah says, Kol karbonos hatzibur v'hayachid ba'im min ha'aretz u'mechutz la'aretz. We just saw this quoted in the Yerushalmi, right? All of the karbonos tzibur, public and private, come from Eretz Yisrael or outside of Eretz Yisrael. Chadash or Yashan, doesn't matter. Chutz min ha'omer shtei halechem, she'enan ba'in ela min ha'chadash u'min ha'aretz, but not omer and shtei halechem. Those are only from the new grain and only from Eretz Yisrael. V'chulan in ba'in ela min ha'muvchar, and they can only come from that which is muvchar, that which is especially choice. Rashi thinks that the muvchar line is only about flour, karbanos, and nesach, meaning mincha, and nesachim. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisroel Mizbeach actually takes it as all karbanos, that everything you bring to Hashem has to be min hamuvchar. Okay. So I have a Mishnah that if you asked me what the Mishnah said, I would answer you. It says, bring from chadash. Right? I'm not allowed to bring from Yashan. And that's a straight read of this Mishnah. You're going to find out Rabbi Yosef Karo thinks it's not necessarily a straight read of the Mishnah. But I thought it was a straight read of the Mishnah. The Gemara then brings a Brisa that disagrees with the Mishnah and says, no, you can use last year's, and it's going to have the support of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Nassan. If you take a look in the third line there in Source Yadalid, Masnisin Deloki Haitana. Guess what? We have a disagreement among the Tanoim. Desanya, Omer Habam and Hayashan Kosher. Omer that comes from last year's grain is fine. Shtei Alechem Habaos Min Hayashan Kisheros. Shtei Alechem also. Ela Shechiser Mitzvah. It's just that you are missing a mitzvah. And Ela Shechiser Mitzvah, it's unclear if that refers just to Shtei Alechem or if it refers to the Omer clause also. But it's not the best, but it's kosher. Omer dichsiv takrives minchas bikurecha. How do I know the Omer can be from last year? Because the pasuk says takriv, you shall bring minchas bikurecha. However you bring it, va'afilu min ha'aliyah. Even if it's the grain, you store it away in the upper floor of your house or silo, whatever. Shtei alechem dichsiv mimoshvosechem taviu v'lo minchutz la'aretz. And as far as the shtei alechem also, because the pasuk says bring it from your moshavot. Moshavot means in Eretz Yisrael. However you bring it in Eretz Yisrael, v'lom in chutz la'aretz, just not from elsewhere. That's the drasha. Even though it does not directly say, and therefore min ha'aliyah, that's the inference that that we're drawing in this brisa. Yes?
Where does that simple pasuk indicate that, like, it says, reshit ketirachem to mincha chadasha? Like, how do you understand those terms if it doesn't use min chadash?
Yeah. I agree. I mean, this is a case of a drasha that seems to go against the pshat and the pasuk. I know that's going to be shocking, but...
I think, I guess, at simple level, it will at least be a mitzvah on both, right?
Yes, and that we did say. We said, I mean, again, you know, that clause of chisar mitzvah, I think, is referring to both. But the Gemara is not done with this drasha, because it doesn't understand what you did with moshvosechem taviyu. Moshvosechem vafilu min ha'aliyah. I don't understand. What do you mean, Moshvoseichem, and even from the Aliyah? Ha'apikta, you already used the word Moshvoseichem as a separate point. Amar Kra Taviyu, meaning teaches this different drasha. So Amar Kra Taviyu Vafilu Min Ha'aliyah. You're right, we're getting it from Taviyu. That's really where it comes from. That's my drasha. Okay. So that's my Brisa. Brisa says you can use past stuff. The Gemara then brings two questions against the Brisa. Vaksiv Reishis. Doesn't the Torah say Reishis? A la Rav Sami's question, right? You have a pasuk that says, bring the first. The Reishis pasuk is specifically regarding the Omer. Reishis Ketzirchem ala Kohen. So, le mitzvah. Yeah, mitzvah. Haksiv Chadasha. But it says Chadasha regarding the Shtei Halechem. Mincha Chadasha. Haimi Boyale. Yeah, we need that for a different point. What is the different point? Lechadisanya, Brisa says, Rabbi Nassan and Akiva, Amru Shtei Alechem Abalas Min Hayashan Ksheros. Rabbi Nassan and Rabbi Akiva, in support of this position, say, you could use Yashan, it's still kosher. Umani Mekayim Chadasha, so what do I get from Chadasha? Shei Chadasha Lechala Menachos, to teach me that it's the first mincha that it can use the new grain. You couldn't use the new grain for other menachos that preceded this. So, and that's what we had already mentioned before. So, I have a brisa that says, unlike the Mishnah, apparently, that Yashan is kosher even if it's not the best thing for me to do. Then we get a little deviation here from the main topic to talk about using from Chutz La'aretz. Ad kan lo pligi ela b'chadash. The debate here is only regarding Chadash. Alva ba'aretz lo pligi. No debate regarding Israel. Da omer shtei alachem me'aretz in mechutz la'aretz lo. Only from Eretz Yisrael. Kiman. Whom does this follow? Delo ki haitana. Well, not the following, Brisa. Disanya Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda Omer ba mechutz la'aretz. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says, the Omer may come from outside of Eretz Yisrael. There's a shock. Umani mekayim ki savo'u el ha'aretz. Then why does the parsha begin by saying when you enter the land? It sounds like that means it should be from the land. Shlonis chayvu ba'omer kodim shnichnasu la'aretz. No, it's telling me the time, not the space. That the law begins when you enter the land, not that the law only applies in the land. Ukasavar chadash b'chutz la'aretz de'oraisa hi. And in fact, he says chadash outside of Eretz Yisrael is a de'oraisa. Don't tell the Bach. Dichsiv mimoshvo seichem, kol makom shatem yoshvin mashma, mimoshvo seichem, wherever you dwell. V'chi savo'u, zman biyahi, and when it says, when you enter the land, that just means that the law starts when you enter the land. V'kevan de'oraisa hi akruvenami makriven. And since it is de'oraisa, therefore you bring it from there, meaning since Chadash applies de'oraisa outside of Eretz Yisrael, therefore you're also able to bring grain from Eretz Yisrael, from outside Eretz Yisrael. So that's the view of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda against our Mishnah. The Karen Ora notes that, and I brought it for you in source Tesvav, he says Rabbi Yosef Yehuda might not allow from Chutz La'aretz for Shtei Halachim. He might only allow it from outside of Eretz Yisrael for the Omer. Because the Shtei Alechem is specifically about permitting the new grain for Karbanos, which is something of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore it has to come from Eretz Yisrael. Whereas the Omer, as the Gemara just said, is about permitting Chadash everywhere. So therefore I can use grain from everywhere. That's the thought that the Karen Ora brings. He also has a very interesting other point. But I think I'm going to actually not bring it. He has a second point, which I didn't bring on the sheet, and I think I'm going to skip it in terms of the shear, because I want to get through what I want to get through here. But he has another point about the difference between requiring new and requiring from Eretz Yisrael, and which one has a source in a pasuk and which one does not. Okay. So going back to back into the Gemara now. Tnan Hasam, they quote our Mishnah in Shkalim. Mishnah in Shkalim says, Shomrei Svichin B'Shvias Notlin Scharin Mitrumas Halishka. Right? That we pay them out of the Trumas Halishka. And this is the second Mishnah that we bring that indicates to us you are bringing from the new grain specifically. First we had our Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek, and then you have this Mishnah that seems to prove it as well. Well, Rami Bar Chama is not happy. He's not happy. I'm sorry, he is happy. Rami Bar Chama, though, is of the position that you can argue logically that it has to be this year's growth. Rami bar Chama l'Rav Chisda. Rami bar Chama challenges Rav Chisda. Tnan, Mishnah we just quoted from Shkalim. Shomrei Svichin b'Shvias Notlin Schar Mitrumas Halishka. We're willing to have guardians for Shemitah in order to be able to get this grain. Vriminu, he asks a question. Le'ochla, the Torah says, v'lo l'sreifa. Right? Another of Rav Sami Shiurim. We have your whole line of Shiurim here. The Torah says you're only allowed to eat the Shemitah produce, not burn it. Remember that what you're going to do with the Omer is dump the Kometz on the Mizbeach. It's being destroyed. How in the world can you justify using Shemitah produce for it? What you should do, the implication is, well, actually it's not an implication, look at the next line. Amar Le Ruchista says, Rami Bar Chama, I don't know what you're talking about. Rachmana Amar Lach Le Daro Seichem, that Amriti Batel, what's your problem here? So you say we shouldn't bring the Omer at all? Is that your Mahalach here? Is that, just don't bring the Omer? The Torah says Le Daro Seichem, that includes the Shemitah year. Amar Le Umika Mina Anati Batel, Laisimi De Ishtaked. He says, I'm not saying, Rabbi Chama says, I'm not saying don't bring it. I'm saying you should be using last year's produce. And the fact that you don't indicates that you're not allowed to. Right? That's his point. His point is the fact that you're using Shemitah produce indicates that that is a requirement. Very interesting side note on this from Rabbi Yosef Engel. He asks a question. Maybe you could argue that achilas mizbeach counts as achila. When the mizbeach eats it, it counts. And he brings a raya from the Gemara in Chulin, which I brought you in source Yud Zayin. The Gemara in Chulin is talking about oso v'es beno. And the question arises, what if you shecht an animal as a karban ola, so no one is eating it? Is that called shechita as far as the law of oso v'es beno? And the answer there is, it is called shechita, because achilas mizbeach shma achila. Having the mizbeach eat it is called achila, therefore it is a shechita l'shem achila, as far as oso v'es beno is concerned. So Rabbi Yosef Engel says, in that case, we should say here, that it is called la'achla v'lo l'sreifa. So we're okay. So so he brings an answer and says, no, because by Shemitah it doesn't just say la'ochla, it says lachem yehiya la'ochla. It's for you to eat. But then he doesn't like that idea, because he says, yeah, but the la'ochla is the drasha, not lachem yehiya la'ochla. He doesn't like that. So I saw the Daf al Hadaf on this, in the quotes, a sefer that I had not heard of, I think, the Nachlas Yaakov Yoshua, on Parshas Behar, who says that the difference is, and this is brilliant, this is why I wanted to show you that Yerushalmi before about Rabbi Yishmael. He says, the Gemara in Chulin that gives you this drasha that says that shechita is called achila when the mizbeach eats, is from the language, if you look in Chulin, damar kra v'im he'achol ye'achel. So we learn from he'achol ye'achel b'shtei achilos hakasav medaber. That's two achilos, your achila and the achila of the mizbeach. Right? I see some people here also in achila. Your achila and the achila of the mizbeach. So says the Gemara in Chulin. So listen to this. He says, the idea in that is, I have a double verb. I'm not willing to say Dibra Torah k'lashon b'nei Adam. Right? I'm not willing to say that we're just speaking l'shom b'nei Adam. It's that each verb that's mentioned is significant. Well, Rabbi Yishmael is the one who's involved with the Shomrei Svichin. And Rabbi Yishmael, in the Yerushalmi in Nedarim, in Soros Yud Ches, which you see there on your sheet, Rabbi Yishmael there does not believe in this idea of drashos. Rabbi Yishmael says, Dibra Torah k'lashon b'nei Adam. He doesn't do drashos on double verbs. That's Rabbi Yishmael's shita. So since Rabbi Yishmael does not do drashos on double verbs, therefore, im he'achol ye'achel is just Dibra Torah k'lashon b'nei Adam, and therefore he believes that shechita for achila from the mizbeach is actually not considered achilas Adam. Achilas mizbeach is not achilas Adam. I thought that was brilliant. Nice piece of pilpul. Okay, so the point, though, is Rami Bar Chama asks the question of how can you bring new grain for the Omer during Shemitah? You're going to burn the Chametz. La'achla v'lo l'sreifa, on which, by the way, the Minchas Chinuch says, I have no problem with that whatsoever, because ase docha lo sase. And la'achla v'lo l'sreifa is a lav haba michlal ase. So since the lav haba michlal ase, it's nircha. It's more important that I bring the Omer than that I worry about la'achla v'lo l'sreifa. That's Soros Yud Tes. So he says, I don't understand why you even needed to say l'derosechem. Okay, also an interesting note. Also a side note. There are a lot of them. Going back again, trying to get back to our Gemara. So flip back to Soros Yud Daled, keeping our train of thought here. Rami Bar Chama says that the fact that you're bringing the Shemitah produce, even though it's going on the Mizbeach to be burned, teaches me that you have to use this year's grain. Because otherwise you wouldn't do it. You would just use last year's grain and be done with it. So back in the bullet points in Soros Yud Daled, Rami Bar Chama said, Laisi Midishtaka, just bring last year's. So Rav Chista responds, Ba'ina Karmel Veleka. You can't, because the Torah says it's supposed to specifically be Aviv Kaloi Ba'esh Geres Karmel. Karmel meaning rach umale. It's supposed to be soft. It's supposed to be full. And he says it won't be if you're using last year's grain. So that won't work. That's why. In other words, technically last year's is kosher. However, it doesn't fit the Karmel requirement. To which Rami Bar Chama says, V'laisi mi Karmel de ishtaka. Bring last year's Karmel grain. It was Karmel at some point. So why can't you bring last year's Karmel grain? To which Chista says predictably, Amar Kra Karmel takriv. But you know, Carmel, b'shas hakrab of aleka. It has to be Carmel when you bring it. And that's the answer to Mami Bar Chama. And then we get a gzeras hakasuv to require this year's grain. Itmar, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Carmel takriv. Rabbi Yochanan says you have to bring Carmel. That's the requirement. That's why you have to use this year's grain, because you need Carmel, like Rav Chisda. Rabbi Elazar Omer Reishis Kitzir Chab. Rabbi Elazar says, no, it's this year's grain because you need this year's grain. Because the Torah says, Vavesemes Omer Reishis Kitzir Chem El HaKohen, the Omer you bring has to be Reishis Kitzir Chab, the first of your harvest, Reishis Kitzir Chab Velosav Kitzir Chab. The first of your harvest, not the end of your harvest. It has to be from the beginning. So Rabbi Yochanan's position, Rabbi Elazar's position is, I have a Xeris HaKasuv that says it has to be Chadash. Are you with me? There were twists and turns in there, but we have two Mishnayos that indicate it has to be this year's grain. One, the straight Mishnah in the beginning of the Perek of Menachos. Two, the Shomrei Svichin one, certainly as explained by Rami Bar Chama, if you take his view. I had a Brisa against, and now I have a Xeris HaKasuv that says it has to be new, because the Torah says, Reishis Kitzircha. Therefore, I have to do it. Last bit in the Gemara, Mosiv Rabbah. Rabbah challenges, according to Rashi, Rabbah's just challenging Rabbi Yochanan. Tosus thinks he's challenging Rabbah Lazar. Also, I'm going to go with Rashi's read, because I understand it. Mosiv Rabbah. Ve'im takriv minchas bikurim. He says, the Torah says, when you bring the minchas bikurim, b'minchas ha'omer akasav medaber. That's talking about the omer. Mehechan hi ba, minhas sa'orim. It comes from barley. Only from the barley. Maybe it could also be from the wheat. The Gemara, the whole discussion of that. And the conclusion, the part I bolded, imata omer omer bamen hachitin, ein shtei halachem bikurim. If the omer could come from wheat, then the shtei halachem that you bring on Shavuos, which is from wheat, would no longer be bikurim. This proves now, says Rabbah, this proves that in fact it has to be bikurim. It has to be new, right? Otherwise, why did the Gemara care, right? Again, you ask the question of how you know that the Omer has to be barley. The answer is the Omer has to be barley because if the Omer is wheat, then the new grain isn't going to be, then the Shtei Alechem, which is wheat, is not going to be the first. It's not going to be Chadash anymore. Alma Mishum Bikurim Hu. So that's the answer. That's how you know. It's Xeris HaKasuv. So the Gemara says, Tiyufta. Yeah, you're right. So, out of all of this sugya, right, you now have learned through the Gemara in Menachos, which is the principal sugya in Shas that deals with this issue. You tell me your conclusion at the end. On one side of the scale, I have the Mishnah in the beginning of the Perek. I have the Shomrei Svichin Mishnah, right? I have the logic as well from Rabbi Bar Chama, and I have a Gzeres HaKasuv. Right? Out of all of this, these sources, I also have a Brisa, supported by Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Nasan, who says, no, you can use last year's. Who would you paskin like? Who would win in this debate?
No Chadash or no Yashan?
No Yashan. That's what I would have thought. I would have thought we've established a line of evidence supporting that. And then you get to the Rambam. The Rambam is not bound by your mortal logic. And there's a big discussion of this in the Minchas Chinuch in Shin Beis Gimel, which was my basis for this piece. If you take a look at Source Chaf as the start of this, the Rambam's view regarding the Omer is not explicit, but you can infer from various halachos that he seems to require chadash. In Hilchos Tmidin Musafin, in Source Chaf, Perek Zayin Halacha Vav, Mitzvaso lihi katzer balayla baleil shisha asar bein b'chol bein b'shabas. The mitzvah is for it to be cut on the night of the 16th, whether it is chol, whether it is Shabbos, being a side point, but that automatically makes it chadash. Right? Because you're not allowed to use the new grain until then. So clearly that's going to be chadash. That didn't say requirement, but he said that's what it is. That's the mitzvah. In Source Chaf Aleph, the Rambam is talking about first the Shtei Alechem, And after he describes the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem Hapanim, he says, the part I bolded, Ha'omer Shu Baminas Ta'orim Chadashos Eino Bamina Mufchar. Right? The context in Tamidin and Musaf in there is he's just talking about how you have to sift the flour that you're going to bring for the Menachos. But he says, the Omer is from Sa'orim Chadashos. And then in the Rambam in Hilchos Yisroim is Bayach in Source Chav Beis, Kol HaMenachos V'Nesachim K'sherim Me'ha'aretz Me'chutz La'aretz Menachadash Men'ha'yashan. Right? This is the language of our Mishnah in Menachos. U'bevad Sheviyu Men'amuvchar. Chutz Men'ha'omer U'shtei Alechem She'enon Ba'in Ela Men'ha'chadash U'me'aretz Yisrael. I think that one is pretty dispositive, right? Eino ba ela is usually the kind of language that, you know, sounds like eino ba ela, right? This is what he seems to be saying. So the Menachos Chinuch says, yeah, but I'd be a lot happier if the Rambam said it explicitly. If you take a look at Source Chav Gimel, the Menachos Chinuch says, ube'emes perek zayin, what you saw in Source Chaf, where he said, Mitzli Katzer Baleil Shisha Asar, Eino Mavur Behedja Klal Din Zed, the in Mavi and Elemen Achadash, right? It's not explicit in what I brought in Source Chaf. Umehach the Perek Ches, which we brought in Chaf Aleph, where he says there's Sa'orim Chadashos, Eino Mucha Klal Duhuli Ikov. That doesn't tell me that it's a firm requirement. Deino Mavur, Lashon De Ein Boim Elemen Achadash, to Mashma Le Ikov, Kmoba Lashon HaMishn. It doesn't use the Mishnah's language of, it's only this. Ubefrat Shamein Makomo Shodin Zeh, especially because that's not the source, that's only a discussion about how you sift the flour. So he doesn't like this. Ubevade Menachadash Tehi Mitzalitzar Bleil Tezayin Aval Im Lo Matzu Lo Shamanu. He doesn't say what to do if they don't find new grain. May you use old. The truth of the matter is, he doesn't point to Source Chav Dalet. In Source Chav Dalet, the Rambam in Hilchos Shkalim says, "Bishnas Hashmita Shehefker Sochen Beit in Shomen Shishmu Mikta Tzvichen Shetzamchu." He describes hiring people to guard them. "Kdei Sheviu Mehen." By the way, he says Mikta Tzvichen. "Kdei Sheviu Mehen HaOmer Ushtei Alechem She'enon Ba'in Ela Min HaChadash." So, you know, I look at it as I see in Rosami's face and say, "Eino Ba Ela Min HaChadash." Like, what else did you want the Rambam to do? But you're going to see in a moment why that's not an ironclad proof. Take a look at Source Chaf Hei. The Rambam in Tmidin Musaf in Parakhes Halacha Beis. Shtei Halachem Einan Boin Ela Min Haaretz Min Hachadash. Shenamar Mimosh Voseichem Taviu Lechem Tinufa. Shtei Halachem have to come from Israel, have to come from the new grain. Brings you a pasuk. La Matzu Chadash Aviyu Min Ha'aliyah. But if you can't find new, you could bring what you had stored away. If you really believed in Source Chaf Dalet that Einan Bun Elemen Achadash means it's a firm requirement, notice that he mentioned the Shtei Halachem there, not just the Omer. He used that language, but he doesn't really believe that that's true. So the Rambam believes for Shtei Halachem explicitly that if you're stuck, you can use old. So now what do I think the Rambam believes regarding the Omer? So the Ravid, take a look at the Ravid in Chaf Hei. He just says, what did you just do? Halacha zu behefech. He says, no, it's the opposite. What did you do there? He doesn't really explain what that means. But that's good, because we have the Kesef Mishnah to explain what the Ravid is talking about. The Kesef Mishnah, the last source, Source Chaf Vav. Rabbeinu pasa kebraisa. He says, first of all, the Rambam, by saying Shtei Halachem can be min aliyah, is following that braisa against the Mishnah Menachos, against the Mishnah in Shkalim, right? Against the logic, the Gzeres HaKasuv, and everything else. He's saying, no, I follow the braisa with the Bekiva Rabbi Nasan. V'yesh l'smoa, lama hiniyach ha-mishnu, pasak ha-braisa. Why did you do that, Rambam? V'efshar shalazen iskavin ha-raivid. He says, maybe that's what's bothering the Raivid. And then he goes on to say, V'efshar shakavanaso, I added in the bracketed words. It could be that the Raivid's intent was to say that the Rambam's language is odd. Lomar delishna demasnisin diksani she'enan ba'in, hainu lomar shim lo hevi me'achadosh pasul. Right, the Mishnah's language, when it said it can only come from this, sounds like it has to come from this. Midka amar Allah masnisin lo kiaitana, and the Gemara said, this Mishnah disagrees with the Braisa, which said that you could bring from the old. V'kevin sh'rabbeinu posei kebraisa lo havele lispos lashon ha-mishnah. Why did the Rambam use the language of the Mishnah, which said, eino ba, ela, if he meant like the Braisa? He shouldn't have quoted the Mishnah's language at all. The Mishnah's language is lechatchila. Ulazu yesh lomar delishna de she'enam boin shaber mashma lechatchila. He says, I'll tell you why. when the Mishnah said it, as far as the Rambam believes, when it said Eino ba ella, that only means lechatchila. And he goes with the Bryce's language of imhevi min ayashin kasher, and that's what the Rambam adopted. And when the mission, when the Gemara says masizim zloki haitana hainu mishum delo masayim bahachi, and when the Gemara says, well, that our Mishnah and the Bryce are not saying the same thing, it's because the conclusion isn't the same, but the beginning part is the same. So the language, don't worry about, the Ravid says. In terms of what the Rambam actually did, though, why did the Rambam follow the Brisa? Explains Rav Yosef Karo. First of all, because the Gemara explained the source for the Brisa. When the Brisa said you could bring from the Yashin if you're stuck, it actually gave me psukim to say takrivu, whatever, from Minha Aliyah. Number two, because the Rambam believes the Mishnah actually agrees with the Brisa. It's only that lechatchila we require chadash. And the difference between the Mishnah and the Brisa is that the Brisa thinks we don't need chadash even lechatchila. That's the difference between Mishnah and Brisa. The Brisa thinks you could always bring from the old. The Rambam thinks, no, you're supposed to try to bring from the new. So now we have the following, and I have 4 minutes, but I think I can get it in. Why did the Rambam split the Omer and the Shtei Halachem? The Rambam is telling me that the Shtei Halachem has a different law, right? That's what we ended up saying. The Rambam, at least the way the Mechas Chinuch read the Rambam, the Rambam is telling me that Shtei Halachem can come from the old, but Omer has to come from the new. I don't have any choice. Why would I split the two? So on a technical level, the Gemara supports the split, right? Like the Kesef Mishnah notes, the Brisa did not lump them together, right? If you were to go back and look, it was a very funny thing. In the Brisa that we brought in Source Yadalid, the Brisa that disagree with the Mishnah, Masdis Loki Aitana, Omer Haba Min Ayashin Kasher, Shtei Alechem Habaos Min Ayashin Ksheros Ela Shechiser Mitzvah. Did you see that? It didn't bring them together as a pair. So there is room to split them up. I would add to the Kesef Mishnah's point that the reason for Shtei Halachem was the word Chadasha in the Torah. Well, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Nassan explained Chadasha differently, and the Rambam is following Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Nassan. Further, the Minchas Chinuch notes, there's no reason to go looking for Yashan for Shtei Halachem, because Shtei Halachem is not going to be burned. Right? It's only if you're dealing with the Omer that there will be a reason to go looking for Yashan to avoid that. So therefore, all the proof that you brought, we wouldn't be hiring people to guard it and all of that, is only applicable for the Omer. It's not applicable for the Shtei Halachem. He has a bigger discussion because the Shtei Halachem could end up being burned. I'm not going there. But on a technical level, you can understand why I would split between the two. Because the Brisa split between the two. Because you're following Rabbi Nassan and Rabbi Akiva, who explained the Drasha for Shtei Halachem differently. On a technical level, I can understand why you would split them. But what about in terms of the meaning? Like, why should Shtei Halachem be okay if you use the old, whereas the Omer is not? So maybe you could say the following, on a symbolic level. The Omer is just flour, right? We add oil and we add Lavona to make it nice, but at its core, it's flour. The core element is the grain, which Hashem has given us, and for which we have contributed very little. So we highlight the divine gift by saying, use the new grain. That highlights what Hashem gave us. Shtei Halachem add human engineering with the baking process. The emphasis is on our contribution. Here are loaves of bread. It's the quintessential example of human contribution. In the Gemara is bread, right? They talk about, look how many things you need and all that in order to produce bread. Rabbi Akiva's line, we want that new aspect to highlight Hashem's gift. But even if we don't have the new aspect, the ikar is really the effort we invest in order to make it a carbon that we give to Hashem. So you can manage, even if it's not the new, because it's not the focus. The focus is what we contributed to the carbon. You follow? And maybe we can now come back to Rav Kook and speculate further. The Omer represents our original animal state, he said. It's the unsophisticated barley. So we highlight what Hashem has given us by insisting, bring from the new grain that we just received. Shtei Halachem represents our growth, what we did through this process of counting the Omer every day. It's from the wheat. It represents our thought. It represents our development. It represents our evolution. the everything we've done for the last 7 weeks is wrapped up in the Shtei Halachim. So although we remember our roots by using chametz, like Rav Kook said, representing the corruption we came from, it's less important that we think about the newness and more important that we have the contribution that we made. And that's why, yes, you should bring the new, but it's not ma'akev. I don't know. It's a thought, at any rate. Thank you very much. I wish everybody a good Shabbos. And as well as a good Yom Tov, a Chag Sameach, since